Hello and welcome to the EV Bids Podcast. This is Tori Hornsby, and I have here with me Rod Stuckey. Welcome, Rod.
Hey, good to be here, Tori.
That's good to have you. In this episode, we're going to talk about how to handle tax, tag, and title for a private party purchase of a used EV. And there can be significant savings when you're buying from a private party, but a lot of folks shy away from an individual because they don't understand how to handle the tax, tag, and title, the bill of sale, the paperwork. And really, this is understandably so because it can get pretty confusing, especially since buying a car isn't something that most people do on a quarterly or often even on an annual basis. So it can be intimidating to tackle without the expertise of a dealer being involved. So let's jump right in and we'll break it down a little bit more, make it less confusing and less intimidating. And so just first things first, Rod, what is the first thing that buyers need to know about handling tax, tag, and title for their private party transaction?
Well, the first thing to understand is that every state is different. And so this is really high level. But if you lived in Georgia and you've moved to Florida like me, you need to understand the process and fees differ by state and they're specific to the state that you live in. I know that's kind of obvious, but I just want to get that out of the way first.
Well, I think it is an important thing to start with because, you know, maybe you just moved states like you're talking about. And heck, there are some states that don't even have sales taxes. We'll talk about in a second. So I think that's a logical first thing to know. So moving into the second thing that buyers need to know, what would you say that what is the second thing that they need to know?
Well, the good news is that as long as you have a signed bill of sale from the seller, you have a grace period to get your tax, tag, and title handled. Now, that grace period does vary by state, but you do have a grace period. The next piece of good news is that nowadays, most counties have a tag office that run pretty darn efficiently. So it doesn't seem like the old days where you had to stand in line at the DMV all day long and then wait and have the tag mailed to you and check the mailbox every day. Most county tag offices, with modern technology, as long as you have your paperwork, you can go there. They'll process your title if you have it in hand. They'll collect your taxes and the other state and local fees, which we'll talk about in a minute. And they'll handle your tag and registration right there on the spot, and you'll walk out with a metal tag.
Yep, that sounds simple enough, you know, but you say having all your paperwork together. I think that that's where the concern comes in and where things often go sideways. So before we get too far off track on that, though, let's talk about the actual tag. We get this question a lot when we're selling a used EV or we're processing a private party transaction is it the seller supposed to leave the tag on their car or should they take it off? And then if they do take it off, what does the buyer need to know or do before going to the tag office?
Yeah, this is a common question. And again, you know, state laws are going to vary. So check with your local state. But when you buy a used car from a private seller, the seller is required in most states to remove the license plates before letting you take possession of the car. So again, you'll have a grace period to register your newly purchased vehicle. So the title and the bill of sale will act as your registration during that interim. Also, you need to contact your insurance company and have your new vehicle added to your policy and have an insurance binder sent to you as proof that the vehicle is insured. So here's your checklist. If you have your title, your bill of sale, and proof of insurance and are within the grace period, you should be fine. Now, I will stress should. In many states, it's technically unlawful to operate a motor vehicle without a temporary or permanent plate. But in most cases, if you're pulled over by local law enforcement, they're going to only issue you a warning if you have that proper documentation. Now, the asterisk there is if there's a police officer who's having a bad day and writes you a citation, you most likely, you know, if you're within that grace period and you go to court, they're going to probably drop those charges from all the research that I have done because, you know, you are within the grace period. Typically, it's nights, it's weekends, and it's holidays that allow you that grace period. Now, if you've been 30 days driving around with no tag and get pulled over, that's a completely different story because you're out of that grace period.
Yep. I know in Georgia, it's 7 days. In a lot of states, that's a pretty consistent time frame of a grace period of 7 days. Not every state, but for a lot of states it is.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people confuse the grace period with, you know, if you have a temporary tag from a dealership, you've got the paper operating permit, paper tag on the back, and you have 30 days. In this situation that we're talking about, the grace period is typically much shorter. Like you're saying, in Georgia, it's 7 days. They're pretty much saying, hey, you're driving without a tag. You better get to the tag office at the first point at which the tag office opens after you've done your transaction with the private seller.
I would even argue that to avoid that hassle, maybe if you're buying from a private party, you take the vehicle home, and then just the next possible day that you can go, you go to the tag office and don't even drive it. I mean, you have that grace period in most states, but you know, police officers, when they pull over a car that doesn't have a tag, or from any other traffic infractions, it's not that they care so much about the tag. It's that that's how they catch people who are felons and who have arrest warrants and stuff. So they're always just looking for a reason to pull somebody over to try to catch them for something else. So I would just avoid that hassle altogether. You have the grace period, but I recommend not driving without a tag. Just wait until you get the tag again.
But you do have to, in most states, you need to drive the vehicle to the tag office, and they'll actually come out and check the odometer before issuing Ooh. You your tag. So you do typically need to drive the vehicle to the tag office.
Oh, that's I wasn't even thinking about that. That's a great point. And so maybe not drive it around leisurely like you're at will. If you're going to the tag office and you tell the police officer that, surely you got your paperwork and you go to the tag office, they're going to leave you alone.
Yeah.
Now, you know, on the point of a vehicle not having a tag being a spotlight, we get this question a lot. So I want to ask you, Rod, hey, I've got a tag from a vehicle that I sold, you know, a couple of months ago. I'll just bring it with me and I'll just throw it on this vehicle as my temporary tag to drive home or to drive around until I'm waiting for the current tag. So can I just take a tag from another vehicle and throw it on my recently purchased used EV?
I cannot tell you how many times I have seen that advice given in different comments and message boards on the forums and Facebook groups. And the answer is, in no case should you ever attach a tag from another vehicle. That is considered a criminal violation. And you could end up, if you got pulled over and had a tag from a different vehicle, you could end up being arrested and having your vehicle towed. That is a much more severe situation than just driving with no tag at all. It is a criminal violation.
Yeah. And towed, when you say towed, I'm impounded.
Like impounded, yes.
Which is it's towed, so you have to cover the tow, and then it's impounded. Now you got to try to get it out. But
there is, you know, in some states, if you're like a big time rule follower, some states do have an option for the current owner to purchase a temporary tag at the local tag office. So that does add a whole additional step, and you know, that's. Sounds good. It's kind of clumsy if you're really doing a deal, because you may not have the deal done until you've seen the vehicle. So asking for the seller to go and do that is just an extra step that most people don't want to go through. But that is an opportunity in some states.
So in summary here, you should get to the tag office as soon as possible. Be sure that you've got your bill of sale, that you have insurance on the vehicle, and that you have your title. And under no circumstance should you put a tag on your new used EV that is from a different vehicle. What if there's a lien and the seller doesn't have the title in hand? How is that handled?
So yeah, that's a good question. And you know,
maybe start with, what is a lien? Like, what do we mean by that? Because some people may not understand.
Well, a lien means the vehicle isn't paid for free and clear, and the bank or the lender who has loaned money has basically liened that title and said, hey, you know, we're first in line to get paid in the event that this vehicle is sold. And so it's kind of always a red flag to slow down the process and be sure, you know, everything is on the up and up. It doesn't mean you can't do private sales when there's a lien. It just adds an extra step. You know, it's not that uncommon, but usually you'll complete the transaction with the bank after, you know, so you'll agree on the purchase price. And then you would actually cut a check to the bank to pay off the loan and then write a second check to the seller for whatever the extra amount should be. So if the payoff was, you know, $20,000 and the purchase price was $30,000, you would write a check to the bank for the $20,000 and then the balance of the $10,000 would go to the seller. Now, where this could get tricky, of course, is if they're upside down, which in today's market, meaning they owe more than the car is worth. In this case, the actual seller must write a check to cover the difference before the bank will release the lien on the title. And so, a lot of sellers, and to your point in your introduction, Tori, you mentioned that, you know, sellers buying and selling cars isn't something we all do that frequently. And so a lot of sellers just don't understand that, you know, they can't just go sell their car when there's a lien on it, or they think they can just sell it and keep making payments, or they think that, you know, the buyer can just take over payments. And I know that to a lot of people sounds elementary, but in the reality, due to the lack of repetition that people have, it's not uncommon for things to go sideways when there's a payoff. So you always want to contact the bank and really do your due diligence here to be sure your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed, so that there's not a miscommunication. And communication is really, really important here. Once you find out there's a payoff, you got to really pipe up and start being sure that I's are getting dotted and T's are getting crossed.
Yep. Good stuff there. Going to the bank, I think, is the best tip there, that it's actually financed at. Unfortunately, that's just not possible for some lenders. But if it is possible, then you definitely want to go to that bank. So moving on here, how do you calculate sales tax on a vehicle? And, what does that look like? Because I know a lot of times people buy a car from a private party, and let's just say they negotiate a deal and it's $20,000. And then they pay that $20,000 and they think, okay, I now own this car. It's mine. I'm done. And when you go to get the tag, man, Uncle Sam wants his. What does that look like?
Yeah, I think it's an important point you make there, Tori. You know, you and I come from a background in the motorcycle industry where people, you know, could go across state lines and buy a used, you know, ATV or UTV or off-road motorcycle. And, you know, if it didn't have to be registered, they could kind of get away without paying sales tax. And a lot of people think there's loopholes where they're not going to have to pay sales tax. I know you just had this happen last week with a customer that told you, I've done wholesale. I know what I'm doing. I don't have to pay sales tax. And, you know, that obviously wasn't the case. Side note, I guess he had done wholesale in some other industry, furniture or something. And
yeah, it wasn't automotive.
Yeah, he was just going to get out of it. But, you know, the first thing to understand is you're going to have to pay sales tax. And the other thing to understand is that in most states, there's going to be additional fees in addition to the sales tax. And so my recommendation is to, you know, just go into Google and say, you know, how do I calculate tax tag and title in New York? You know, how do I calculate tax tag and title in Florida? How do I calculate tax tag and title in California? So, you know, for example, in Florida, you know, you're going to have to pay an $85.25 transfer fee. And then, you know, in addition, there's the 6% tax from the state of Florida. And then Sarasota County charges an additional 1% surtax. So you've got your total tax is the 6% state, 1% county, and most counties do this now. So that's 7% total. You got your $85 transfer fee, and then I believe there's like a $15 annual fee for the actual plate. And so it's just important to understand, number one, you're not going to get out of paying sales tax. You are going to have to pay sales tax, even if you buy from a private individual. And then the other thing is to be sure you understand in your state, you know, for example, in New York, well, it's only a 4% sales tax. However, most counties have like an additional 4 to 4.5% on top of this. So you're going to be paying like 8 or 8.5% total because you got your state and you got your county. So again, it varies by state. There are a handful of states. I can't remember them all off the top of my head. I remember Montana is one of them. You may remember those states, Tori. There are some states that you don't have to pay sales tax. My suspicion is they're going to get you somewhere else. I don't know that for sure. Yeah. Again, this is all state specific, but yeah, you just Google it by your state and understand you're going to have to pay sales tax in the states that require it. And there's probably going to be some additional fees on top of it.
Yep. I don't remember all the states. There's 3 or 4 of them. I do know Montana is one of them. And man, but to your point, if you're lucky enough to live in one of those states, it's like Florida. You know, Florida doesn't have income tax at the state level, but boy, they get you in all the other places on vehicle tax, property tax, and everything else. So I'm sure that there's an asterisk or some fine print there for those other states. But yeah, search it up in Google and find it out there. So I do, that's all the questions I have for you, Rod, but I do want to just kind of leave with a bit of a shameless plug for what EV Bids does, because we do specialize in this stuff. You know, we specialize in private party sales. And so all the way from, you know, man, what if I mess up the paperwork, you know, and what if I don't have all of that? Well, whenever you use us as a broker, the very first thing that you have to understand is that, you know, we're licensed and we are bonded by the state of Georgia. So that bond is a state-issued surety bond, and it protects our customers and it guarantees compensation for any kind of financial harm if we fail to comply with the licensing registrations that are set forth in the Georgia Vehicle Dealer Code. And, you know, for instance, if we didn't pay the required taxes or fees, that bond covers it. It's our responsibility as a dealer broker, not the purchasers who you know, has paid us those fees. So essentially it means that you have a safe, secure, and scam-free private party deal closing. Now, taking that to the next step, well, we talked about the challenges of how not having a tag on your vehicle puts a spotlight. Well, if we broker the deal, what this looks like is you find a vehicle from a private party that you want to buy, and then we are the middle person between that, to where we purchase the car for the agreed upon price, and then we sell it to you for that same price. We charge a small fee, but then we can give you the registration and we can give you a temporary tag. So that temp tag allows you to drive for sure for 30 days while we're processing the title and getting all of that stuff over to you. So it helps there. And then last note that we have a lot of people do business with us for private party sales when there's a lien holder involved. So whenever you talk to a seller and they're like, yeah, just, you know, give me $25,000 and then I promise you I'll send you the title. Well, you know, for a lot of buyers, I just don't have that level of trust to give you $25,000. Like, what is your payoff? What if you don't do the right thing? And then, you know, if I have to sue you for that money, do you even have it to give it back? So whenever you allow EV Bids to process the transaction, we are taking on that risk. So we work with the bank. We get a 10-day payoff. We pay the bank directly, and we have a title authorization release from the seller, to where the bank sends us the title directly. It doesn't even have to go through the seller any longer. So there's a lot of reasons to have us get involved in your private party sale. And then, of course, if it's a used EV under $25,000, we also process the $4,000 used EV tax credit. So I did want to just cover some reasons to do business with EV Bids on your private party transaction. It doesn't have to be a car that we have in stock. It doesn't have to be one of our auctions. It can literally be a car that you found on Auto Trader or Facebook Marketplace that just some other individual selling. We can process that closing and give you all of the confidence and assurance of a safe and secure transaction. And if the vehicle's eligible and you're eligible, process the tax credit. So keep that in mind. You can reach out to us at info@evbids.com or check us out at evbids.com on our website. We have a private party closings page where you can read a little bit more information on that. Rob, was there anything else to cover before we end here?
I couldn't have said it better myself, Tori.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Well, hey, thanks for joining us, guys. We appreciate it. For Rod Stuckey and the rest of the team here at EV Bids, I'm Tori Hornsby, and we'll see you on the next episode.